This is Just to Say by William Carlos Williams. This is just to say, I have eaten the plums that were in the icebox and which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me, they were delicious and so sweet. People aren't always great at apologies. We're not great at seeing when we've done wrong and correcting course. And I think this may be because we're invested in thinking that we're good people and believing that we're good people. It's hard to face our failures and turn in a new direction, but we can learn. If in some way in your life you're heading in the wrong direction, turn. Reconcile. Repent, ask for forgiveness, and give it. These are the days of awe, the stretch of 10 days in the Jewish calendar between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. In the Jewish tradition, it is said that at the new year, on Rosh Hashanah, God writes people's fate for the coming year in a book. The people's fate springs from their previous actions. And then on Yom Kippur, what is written in the book is sealed for the coming year. But in between, in this week between the two holidays, a person can alter what God will seal in the book. Traditionally, this is a time to repair damaged relationships, reflect on one's actions, and make amends wherever possible. It's a time to ask and offer forgiveness, a time for reconciliation and repair. Not one of us is perfect. We all make mistakes. We all have character flaws that cause other people to suffer, just as others cause us suffering. But whatever has been, we can take steps toward reconciliation and healing and reconnection and peace. This has been a hard time in our culture, and especially in these times, it matters that we learn the art of restoring relationship. So much in the fabric of society is tattered. It matters that we learn to heal the rifts that divide us along racial, political, economic, and interpersonal and religious lines. It matters that we mend our destructive and disconnected relationship with the earth. There is a lot at stake. What I love about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the days in between is that we're invited to do this work in concrete ways. To simply reflect on our lives, to take stock and then make concrete steps to right our wrongs, to turn in a new direction. It's not complicated work. Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg teaches that spiritual integrity comes from being able to distinguish for ourselves the habits and influences of mind that are skillful and lead to love and awareness, and distinguish those from those that are unskillful and reinforce our false sense of separation. Salzberg quotes one of my favorite teachings of the Buddha, who offered these two clear directives. First, abandon what is unskillful. One can abandon the unskillful. If it were not possible, says the Buddha, I would not ask you to do it. If this abandoning of the unskillful would bring harm and suffering, I would not ask you to abandon it. But as it brings benefit and happiness, therefore I say, abandon what is unskillful. And two, cultivate the good. One can cultivate the good. If it were not possible, I would not ask you to do it. If this cultivation were to bring harm and suffering, I would not ask you to do it. But as this cultivation brings benefit and happiness, I say, cultivate the good. You have made mistakes in the last year that have hurt other people. You've made choices that have caused others harm. That's true of all of us because we're all human. And some of these mistakes, some of these choices, emerge out of unskillful habits of the heart and mind. It's possible to change the habits of our hearts. If it weren't possible, I wouldn't ask you to do it. It's possible to turn in a new direction. Looking back at the last year, I see that I personally still have a lot of work to do when it comes to recognizing my limitations. The limits of my energy, my wisdom, my courage, the limits of my capacity to endure hard things. I see that I sometimes harbor grandiose thoughts about my own capacity, and that when my self-image is threatened, I'm often tempted to double down on my faulty thinking. Over the last year, this has expressed itself in my relationship to my children and my husband. Sometimes my kids send me right over the edge. I lose my temper, and I respond to my kids or a challenging situation in a way that escalates the situation rather than diffusing it. At these times, it's very hard to decouple. Chris and I are partners in parenting, and often at moments like these, when a situation has gotten under our skin, the other will say, "Why don't you take a break? I got this." But when this happens to me, I find it very difficult to let go. Instead, my natural instinct was to insist that I am not angry, despite all evidence to the contrary, that I have things under control and that I can handle it. I often snap at Chris for offering, making this offer, instead of accepting it. Or I justify my anger by saying that the situation is the problem, not me. This knot of unskillful behavior is painful to look at. But I take comfort in the Buddha's assurance that it's possible to change. Over the next few days, I plan to reflect on the way Chris teaches me to be a better parent, and I plan to express my gratitude toward him and let him know. Yeah. It's possible to turn, to discern, and enact a more helpful response, and often the change, the turning, begins with stopping. There's a great figure in the Buddhist tradition, Angulimala, and be forewarned, if you're not familiar with this story, it's pretty gross. Angulimala is a notorious murderer with a vicious reputation. He's on a quest to obtain 1,000 fingers cut from the bodies of people he has murdered. He wears these fingers on a string around his neck, kind of a gruesome necklace. After Angulimala has murdered 999 of these 1,000 people, the Buddha learns that he is in woods nearby. The Buddha goes to meet Angulimala on the forest path, and Angulimala resolves to kill the Buddha. Angulimala runs at the Buddha, but no matter how fast he runs, he's unable to reach him. The Buddha is walking in a calm and measured way along the path, but as fast as Angulimala runs, he cannot catch up. Finally, in desperation, he yells out to the Buddha, "Stop!" And the Buddha turns back toward Angulimala and says, "No, Angulimala, it is you who must stop." Angulimala becomes enlightened there on the forest path. He sees the horror of what he's done and he repents. He becomes a monk, dedicated to peace, and spends his life working to make amends for his past crimes. Stop. Turn. Reconcile. When possible, apologize and forgive. And then turn in a new direction, oriented toward love, health, wholeness, and peace. Joanna Macy is an environmental activist on a mission to transform society. She's witnessed the ecological and human devastation caused by rampant consumerism and disconnect from the earth. Macy believes there's a better way that many people have already embraced. She sees a dawning awareness taking root in our culture with the power to restore human relationships and sustain our connection to our planet. Macy calls this era in which we find ourselves the Great Turning, and says that only time will tell whether we are engaging in it with enough dedication and passion to turn the tide of human and ecological history toward health. A woman named Christine Fry participated in a workshop led by Joanna Macy and later wrote these beautiful words. I leave them with you, or I offer them to you as a blessing. You've asked me to tell you of the great turning, of how we saved the world from disaster. The answer is both simple and complex. We turned. For hundreds of years, we had turned away as life on earth grew more precarious. We turned away from the homeless men on the streets, the stench from the river, the children orphaned in Iraq, the mothers dying of AIDS in Africa. We turned away because that was what we had been taught, to turn away from our pain, from the hurt in another's eyes. Always, we were told in actions louder than words to turn away, and so we became a lonely people caught up in a world moving too quickly, too mindlessly toward its own demise, until it seemed as if there was no safe space to turn. No place, inside or out, that did not remind us of fear or terror, despair and loss, anger and grief. Yet on one of these days, someone did turn. Turn to face pain, turn to face the stranger, turn to face the smoldering world and the hatred seething in too many eyes. Turn to face himself, herself. And then another turned. And another, and another, and as they wept, they took one another's hands. Until whole groups of people were turning. Young and old, gay and straight, people of all colors, all nations, all religions. Turning not only to the pain and hurt, but to beauty and gratitude and love. Turning to one another with forgiveness and a longing for peace in their hearts. At first, the turning made people dizzy, even silly. There were people standing to the side, gawking, criticizing, trying to knock the turners down, but the people kept getting up, kept helping one another to their feet. Their laughter and kindness brought others into the turning circle until even the naysayers began to smile and sway. As the people turned, they began to spin, reweaving the web of life, mending the shocking tears, knitting it back together with the colors of the earth. Sewing on tiny mirrors, so the beauty of each person, each creature, each plant, each life might be seen and respected. And as the people turned, they spun like the earth through the universe. The web wrapped around them like a baby blanket, making it clear we were all loved, nothing separate. As this love reached into every crack and crevice, the people began to wake and wonder, to breathe and give thanks, to celebrate together. And so the world was saved, but only as long as you too, sweet one, remember to turn. In these days of awe, let us orient ourselves toward what has the power to heal and to bless the world. It's simple, really. Face the facts. This week, take time to take stock of your own life. Abandon what is unskillful. Cultivate the good. Where relationships are broken, work toward healing. Ask forgiveness. And if the time is right, accept forgiveness. Turn toward what is healthy, whole, life-giving, and good.